Hello, and welcome back to Chasing Hazel's Tales, a family history podcast presented to you by two registered nurses, all-around family historians, and sisters. If you've got family history, we want to talk about it. I'm Kim McLaughlin.
And I'm Laura Ireland.
And this week, we have a famous historical figure and our best fan to talk about. You know who our best fan is.
I think we know.
And so I've been droning on for years about this famous figure. Are you ready, Laura?
I think we're ready to start this discussion. Okay. You certainly, you have a lot of information about him. 35 years worth of your research, plus what other people have garnered so far. So, and up to this point, you know, we've shared bits of our family history that really captivated our hearts and imaginations, and initially might have been a little bit shocking to us, but helped us to better understand our family and ourselves. So now we want to dive into general territory, General Johnny Burgoyne territory, to be exact. And although we've been found not to be genetically linked to the Burgoyne line, it is our family and part of who we are.
Right. We are who we are. And if you look behind me, you'll see all the general information I've picked up over the years.
Probably two-thirds of it is about the general.
Yeah, scads and scads of it.
So yeah, Kim's been going a little back and forth on covering General Johnny Burgoyne, the famous or infamous British general of the Revolutionary War, depending on your opinion. And
are you British or are you American?
That's right. A loyalist or a patriot? So we are reported to be related to him. But who is he, do you ask? He's John Burgoyne, born 1722 or 23 and died in 1792. And he is best remembered for his defeat or surrender, again, depending on your opinion, by superior American forces in the Saratoga, New York campaign of 1777 during the American Revolution.
So I have a little thing. So that is exactly what it was said in Britannica Online about him. And I don't know who wrote it, but what do they mean by superior American forces? I get a little defensive sometimes about Grampy General John. So when they say superior American forces, I'd rather say, how about a rogue English general who decided he knew better than to follow a plan that would work, right? So hung him out to dry, say. I'll digress.
Yeah, this topic feels a little intimidating to me, I would say, because it's been the topic for years of, are we or aren't we related? Or, you know, yes, we are, but how? And there's, you know, connections to prove. But, you know, this is what started your whole journey into digging around in the family history. It's how you got started researching, building trees, which eventually led to the DNA testing. And the rest, as they say, is history.
History, for sure. Mm-hmm. I've been researching this tree since before my son was born, and he just turned 34. So that means it's been a while. And this was the hook that made me the way I am today. This is to blame. I was shown a family history file that my grandfather Stan had collected, Stan Burgoyne. He had contributed to it as well with his own recollections. So to me, it was like a present. And each element of the file was a puzzle piece to work on. And I was hooked. That was it. It was done. And the most important piece of that puzzle was right on top. It was the descendancy sheet that Sadie Burgoyne McConnell had created that showed our branch of the Burgoynes descending directly from General John Burgoyne. But I only had that one sheet. There were no other documents in that file to back it up. Like, there was no birth records, no anything, just who the people were in that line. So what did I do? I went looking. So when I started looking, it was the late 1980s. Internet was just being thought about. It was just a baby. It was just in college.
Yeah. Nobody had it. There was no home computers, no
nothing. And it wasn't until Brady was a small baby that we got computers at our house. And I can remember dialing the Main State Library from my computer. I mean, putting in the number and actually connecting to that library.
And hearing those noises of the connection.
Exactly.
The dial-up days.
Exactly. And then the thing was, now what? I got on it. I didn't know what to do. So I disconnected because it wasn't like you had a web page. You were in the library's database, and it's like, oh God. Well, anyway, that was above me. So anyway, I would collect all the family history bit by bit. And now I have amassed a fair bit of genealogy. At the time, I would just collect, a bit of this, a bit of that. And, dang it, I didn't always remember to write down where I had found some of these tidbits. So now that I'm older and wiser, I've learned a few things. Citations are important. They document where the information you have came from. And at the time, I was just an excitable person. And technically, I'm still an excitable person.
No.
Yeah, I go a little nuts when you start talking about fun things like genealogy. And so I was, at the time, I was just excitable. And I would devour each piece of information, store it in the back of my brain somewhere. And then when I would retrieve it, I would say, huh, where did I get that?
Always think we're going to remember.
I'll never forget that. And you know what I do? I always forget it.
Right.
And over these
something
last 30
shiny.
Years. Yeah, shiny. I'm on to something else. So I just want everybody to forgive me. And if I say I don't recall where I got this tidbit or where I found it, I would really prefer to give credit to those who assisted me. And if I've neglected to do so, call me out. I'll fix it and I'll give credit where credit is due. But there's a lot of people over the years. A lot. I can't even imagine how many people I've talked to about the general. And
right. Well, chances are they may not remember having told you.
That's true. But
if you're
I feel
not remembering
bad.
It, they may not either.
Right. Those were back in the days when you just collected everything and put it into a file. But as I've learned through classes and things, citations are where it's at. Because otherwise, if you come behind me and look through my papers that's here in my office, you're going to say, where did she get all this stuff? And, and is this true? Is that true? Yeah, who knows? But anyway, so I apologize in advance, but there are some things I remember, some things I don't. But first things first. People, I want to mention, why do we even think we're related? So what? Our name's Burgoyne. That doesn't mean we're related to every Burgoyne on the planet.
It's true, but it is not that common of a surname either.
Right.
So
yeah,
tended to believe it just on, I don't know.
Yeah. And I think that's what everybody does, because there's a lot of people who think that they're related.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason that we think we're related first was Aunt Sadie Burgoyne McConnell said so. So she wrote it down. She had it on paper, and we have her descendant chart from the general, and it is still in use for me as the family tree. But we'll cover more of that later. But Sadie is on my family tree. She's my great grand aunt, and she was an intrepid genealogist. Spent a good amount of time chasing the general's story. I even have a copy of the ship manifest when she traveled to England to do research in 1951. I got that on Ancestry, but that came up as a hint. So there, I remembered where that came from.
And what was Sadie to our grandfather, Stan?
She was
she
Stan's aunt. So Stan's father was Lewis, Lou was her brother.
Okay.
So because they had a big family, and she was born in Canada. So there's one. That's one reason why we think we're related. Number two. I have, and here's the problem. I don't remember where I got this. I think it might have been Linda Burgoyne, but I'm not sure. But I have an article from the Hartford Courant. It's a picture of Mary Burgoyne. She said she was related to General Johnny Burgoyne. So she, according to this, I think, was related to Edward Burgoyne from Prince Edward Island, and that would be on our family tree. The dates don't really mesh very well for me, but I'm not exactly sure. But anyway, so she died in Connecticut in 1967. We have a newspaper clipping which shows her holding a baby. It happens to be a family friend. And the article goes on to say that she is the great-great-granddaughter of General Johnny. So here's what it says. Centuries apart, Miss Mary Burgoyne, great-great-granddaughter of British General Gentleman Johnny Burgoyne, who surrendered to the American troops in 1777 at Saratoga, observes her 100th birthday at the Willington Convalescent Home. In her arms is, they talk about the baby and the friends. And it says, Miss Burgoyne, born in Charlotte, Prince Edward Island, Nova Scotia, lived in Coventry for 82 years. So she's been in Connecticut almost her whole life, but she believes that she's related to General Johnny. And that's what they mention in her picture. Not that 100 years of a good life, No, she's the general's granddaughter.
And is she closely related to Sadie or...
I think she would be
cousins of some sort?
No, I think to Sadie, it might be like a an aunt or a grand aunt, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she would be like another step up. And when she died in 1966, I'm not sure if Sadie, if Sadie was still alive. I'm not sure. I'll have to check that. But so this woman lived a really great long life. Mm-hmm. So we also have a letter from Sadie's nephew. Her nephew was James. He went to go visit Mary in Connecticut on behest of Sadie. Sadie said, "Hey, James, go visit Mary. Get the story. Find out what's going on." And so James did. So, which is kind of nice. James went to go visit, and this was in 1966. And he said, "Mary was in bed when I arrived, dressed and covered with a crocheted type spread. The nurse had helped her sit up, and she sat down and explained," James said, "why he was there." So what he quotes her as saying, she says, her father's name was John Burgoyne. She didn't think that he had a middle name. He was born and raised in England, but didn't know when or how he got to Prince Edward Island. Her grandfather's name was Edward Burgoyne. Her mother's maiden name was, and it's kind of, you can't really read it very well, but it looks like Jodrey, Jodrey, from Miramichi, which is a place probably nobody's ever heard of, but Laura, you and I have heard of it. And she explained it was this is how she explained it. It was up back of Maine. So that makes sense to us, but she could remember her father being the overseer of a, I can't read that word, some sort of farm that raised horses. And the family name of the store was Coles. And this all rings true too, because I do know of a Cole family that's related to the Burgoynes or in the same area. Hmm. So James went because Sadie had asked him and got some information. So this woman connects to our line, the John and the Edward and that kind of thing. The dates don't seem quite right and I can't quite figure it out, but you know, maybe someday when I have free time. Another person mm-hmm. that claims to be related is Edward Burgoyne, and he said so. He said he was related to General Johnny Burgoyne, and he had receipts, but I wouldn't call them receipts.
Yeah.
Because to me, they were kind of flimsy, but I'll read it to you. I'll read it because it's kind of fantastical, if you ask me.
I guess back in the day, it was all just what was on paper anyway.
Right.
You know, people could put down whatever they wanted, but exactly. Hopefully they were honest.
Well, but the thing is, but then it continues. Like, everybody still thinks that they're related. I still get emails from people who think that they're related to General Johnny. So, this particular article is from the Island newspaper. And again, this is one that I did not note when I received it or who gave it to me. I'm sorry. But it is an article. It's in the islandnewspaper.ca website. And this is called The Descendants of Burgoyne. The article says, Edward Burgoyne of Granville, Prince Edward Island, is a direct descendant of Lieutenant General Sir John Burgoyne, who fought in the War for Revolution of the United States. General Burgoyne was born in 1722, died in 1792. Mr. Burgoyne of Granville has in his possession a deed of 2 acres of land in Roxbury, Hertfordshire, conveyed by George Burgoyne to one Marmaduke Rawdon of Colchester, Essex.
Marmaduke.
I know. I like Marmaduke Rawdon.
I thought that was just a dog.
So he had the deed, which was recently shown to the Guardian, meaning the newspaper. The deed is on parchment and is written in Old English script and is an admirable preservation, perfect throughout, including the signature and seal. It bears the date of 6 December 1717. It is presumed that George Burgoyne, the maker of this deed, was a relative of Sir John Burgoyne. The document is a remarkable one in the fact that it's now nearly 200 years old. So this was been right around 1917, somewhere around there.
Hmm.
So my question to you is, just because Marmaduke and George Burgoyne had a document, does that mean they're related to General John?
Well,
that's all I have on that information. And that was this. So this was Edward, who is in our family tree, I believe. And if that's all the same, then yeah, we're related to Edward. But this other bunch of stuff about Marmaduke and the title or the deed, right. I don't know.
Yeah, I suppose it was as good a proof as any at the time.
Right.
Look, I've got this deed. You had a connection. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's number three. And then we'll go to number four and we'll call it good.
We'll call it a day on that one. Yeah.
Because I mean, you know, and I wouldn't even think about it, but there's four people historically who are not that far removed from General Johnny that think they're related to General Johnny. Right. I mean, we're really removed. Too bad we didn't have DNA back in the day. We could have DNA tested them and probably figured out what was going on, but I digress on that as well. So the next person is Richard Everett Burgoyne, who is in our family tree. He is in New York. And that's another tidbit story. That's a good story there, too. But from the Buffalo Courier Express, it does. Here's the title: Scion of Noted General Freed in City Court. It says Burgoyne's great-great-grandson is saved from the workhouse after telling his story. The great-great-grandson of General John Burgoyne of Revolutionary fame was in City Court the other day. And if that were not surprising enough, it may be added that he was arraigned and on a vagrancy charge to which he pleaded guilty. But Richard Everett Burgoyne, 19 years old, was not sent to the workhouse with the others. He was discharged and given into the care of the Children's Aid Society. And that is how this story came to light. Richard was a clean-cut chap, short but stocky, with fair skin and attractive gray eyes.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la. And he told a really straightforward story of his present circumstances. So, I mean, he could spin his story.
A wordsmith.
Yep. Yeah. And he came to be, about how he came to be in such a humiliating position. But he went on. He had evidently got laid off from a job, but still owed money for his housing, that kind of stuff, somewhere in New York, and ended up in Buffalo trying to find a job. And they tried to get him off the streets. But then it found out that the Aid Society found out who he was related to, and they did it because they went looking, not necessarily. They weren't even sure that he knew. So they just went back into the records and found out that Richard Everett had lost his father very young and had been on his own because his mother had died, or and the mother had remarried. And anyway, so he found himself on his own. But in the end, it was noted, whatever the course taken by the blood of Burgoyne, down to the fame of the latest scion of that family, the tale is an interesting one, and it's a fact that the same blood flows through this lad's veins. Strange romances have come out of the city court, but none more surprising than that of the great-great-grandson of a round and talented Tory general, brought before the bar of justice as a vagrant, a plucky wayfarer on the lonely highway of life.
That's very dramatic.
That was the very end of that article. It was three pages long. So, So this plucky young lad or whatever.
So all those, because he had a famous great-great-grandfather.
Right. So along with Sadie, these other people have reported that we are related to General Johnny. And I can place all these people on our tree. So if they say they are, and then they are historically much closer to General Johnny than we are. That's why I say, you know, they must have known something. So I don't have, you know, all of their answers very readily, but, you know, I carry on. So Laura, how about a General Johnny tidbit?
Yeah, I think his life was full of little tidbits, but this is pretty interesting because it is close to home, from Smith College in Northampton, Mass. From their website, which this is something that our sister Kathy brought to our attention, that Smith College, which is a private liberal arts women's college in Northampton, as I said, had a General Johnny connection. And just for a little background, the school has a few notable alumni, including Barbara Bush, Nancy Reagan, Gloria Steinem, Julia Child, and Margaret Mitchell, just to name a famous few. So the story about Smith College goes, the oldest house on campus, Sessions House, it was built in 1710 by Captain Jonathan Hunt. The house was the first in Northampton to be built outside of the stockade. So, and there was a staircase originally designed as a secret passageway used during colonization by the Hunts as a place to hide when Native Americans tried to reclaim their land. It is also said to have been used during the Civil War as part of the Underground Railroad. So
that's cool.
Pretty historical significance there. But the most popular house legend is that the staircase was the site of clandestine visits between Captain Hunt's granddaughter, Lucy, and Johnny Burgoyne, a British redcoat held captive in the house during the Revolutionary War. What, you suppose this was after the big surrender at Saratoga?
I'm thinking they held him a bit. You go sit over there in this house.
Yes. So the Sessions House is named for Mrs. Ruth Huntington Sessions, who acquired the building at the turn of the century and opened it to Smith students as housing became scarce. And she later bequeathed the home to the college, and it's been used as a residence hall since 1921.
There. So the general, he was out and about. And I think
about
Kathy,
town.
Yeah. I think Kathy said at Halloween, they used to have Halloween parties, and that secret staircase was part of the festivities. And I don't know.
Oh, all, that would be a good one.
Yeah. I don't know what all would happen. You know, maybe we should go during Halloween and find out what's going on there. Probably. Hmm. I don't know. But so that's what the general, and they would use him as part of their festivities, I believe. So Kathy must have heard about that maybe in the paper, but again, I forget. So, but she was the one, because she did live in Massachusetts. She brought us
right,
that information.
And we know it came from her. So that's about all that we know.
Yeah.
But it's a good little tidbit. I like it.
I like it because it's like, he was everywhere, man. And so we just, you know, at least now, you know, why we think we are related to General Johnny. We'll continue on next week with General Johnny, but we have a family history tidbit for this week for our best fan. And our best fan is David. Hashtag prove me wrong.
All right. Game accepted.
It's okay. I went back in his tree and found his grandfather. His grandfather's name was Byron Lloyd. Byron was a first generation Mainer, born in Woodland, Maine, which is the county, by the way. Born
good
in
county
19-
boy.
He was a county boy in 1907, but he left. He and his father and mother were John and Maud. They had been born in Canada. So, but by 1920, they were in Norridgewock, and that's where they stayed. So Byron passed in 1994. But we found Byron this morning in the Morning Sentinel, which is out of Augusta, I believe, or Waterville, one or the other. He was involved in a lawsuit.
All right. So the article reads, plaintiffs in the 8 actions and the damages which they seek to recover follow. Jenny V. Fogg of Norridgewock, $3,000. Alonzo Lancaster of Norridgewock, $4,000. Byron Lloyd of Norridgewock, $1,500. Byron Lloyd and John Lloyd, $6,000. Byron Lloyd and Merle Lloyd, $2,000. Frank Moore of Norridgewock, $3,000. William Welch and Mary Welch of Madison, $5,000. Thomas Crawford Wild of Madison, $3,000. And the first of the 3 actions brought by each plaintiff against the town alleges that Madison maintained a nuisance at its dump by keeping fires there during an extremely dry period. So the writ declares that the town maintained fires in its dump, thus creating and maintaining a dangerous and intolerable nuisance. This condition created by the defendant was likely to generate and spread dangerous fires. And the defendant used its property in an unreasonable and unwarranted and unlawful manner.
So basically, those landowners were mad. They were lived in Norridgewock, and they were mad at Madison because Madison had a dump and kept a fire burning there all the time, even during dry weather.
Right.
So then they lost all this valuable timber.
So the things that we learned from this little article, Byron was a considerable landowner, alone and with his brothers. And there was a huge forest fire in Madison, Norridgewock in October 1947 that started with, seems like, a careless fire kept at the dump.
That's what they're alleging. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I don't know if David knew that this was a thing that his grandfather had done. So maybe David will let us know. But I tried to find the results of this lawsuit, and I didn't. It was just, I ran out of time. But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, David will let us know.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we're starting to have some plans here now that spring's here.
Yeah.
Going to start doing a little more exploration of the cemeteries, and people like us in the Northeast just praying for no surprise snowstorms in April so that we can get out there and start doing our thing.
Yeah. This morning they had data on how many surprise April snowstorms there are, and it's common, and I didn't like that.
I recall getting a major snowstorm on April 7th.
Yep.
In high school. I don't remember which year, but it was a foot and a half of snow.
I think I was either a senior or...
I might have been a sophomore.
Yeah, maybe a junior. Anyway, yep.
Yeah, anyway. It'll melt quickly, but what a pain.
Yeah. All right, so next week, we want to discuss our family line, and that line goes right back to Cornwall, England. That is everything that I have verifiable, just as a little tease.
All and roads lead to Cornwall? Is that
all,
what we're saying?
Oh, they do. And Cornwall's
road
just,
trip.
Yeah, Cornwall's just stunning. So we're going to go to Cornwall because that's what Sadie says is where they're from. So we're also going to talk about the children of General Johnny. He did have children, and he had kind of an interesting life. But we have one of his children that we're very interested in. And Cornwall, England is where it's at. So anybody want to sponsor our road trip to England? Because we're taking sponsorships at this time. Spring would be a lovely time to go over and have some tea and talk about it. Talk about things. And ask around, are you a Burgoyne? Are you related to General Johnny Burgoyne?
So until next week, please rate, review, and follow us on your favorite podcast platform. We also invite you to reach out to us by email at chasinghazelstales@gmail.com. Tell us your tales or share what you've learned or found interesting about your family. Let us know if you've shaken your family tree and had any nuts fall out. Hazelnuts. I don't know.
We're all hazelnuts. That's right.
Yes. You can also follow us, contact us, or any of the above on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Thanks to Kim. And until next week, so long.
Goodbye.